We hear again from the reading of Romans 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. In the name of Jesus. This law that Paul speaks of, what does this law do to you? That's not the first way that we probably think of the law. Normally, we think of the law as something that we must do. A list of rules, perhaps. Regulations to help us stay on the right path. Methods for living. In this way, we tame the law. We turn it into something that doesn't really scare us. It's just a list of rules we need to work a little harder at following. That's a baseball player learning the rules of the game so he can win on the field. It's the quilter learning the different methods of quilting so she can make better and better pieces of art. We can be friends to the law when we have it in that way. Rules and regulations and methods for us to live better. This is easy law, comfortable law. When we reduce the law to being God's instructions on how to live better, that's when we will start hearing people saying things like, we need more law. The sermon has too much gospel. How about a little more law? Of course we want more law when we've neutered it, when we've reduced it to methods of helping us live by God's design or something like that. But no sinner wants more law when we start hearing the law in the way the Lord speaks it. When we rightly hear the law, when we're not hearing comfortable words about how to live by God's design, not neutered instructions about God's will for our lives, and certainly not just methods or procedures for obedience, when we rightly hear the law, we will hear the voice of God. And it is the voice of God declaring us guilty. Guilty along with the whole world of sinners. We hear God accusing us so directly that we finally give up the game and admit that we cannot justify ourselves and the law is not helping. We hear God consigning us to live at best as slaves in the house. Romans 3:19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. This is no friendly law. When we rightly hear God's voice of law, we cannot domesticate it into being manageable rules of how to live. We can't neuter it so that we can have it run around our house like a housebroken puppy. When we rightly hear God's law, and it's the accusing voice, no sinner would want the sermon to end with it. When we rightly hear God's law, our mouth is stopped. We have no excuse. We stand guilty. For as long as we're in our sinful flesh, the law always accuses. No matter how much we try to reduce the law to being Christian methods and procedures, no matter how much we think it might be helping us to be obedient, the law always accuses, so that, as Paul says, every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Romans 3:19. That's the job of the law. It shows us our sin, and since we are indeed living in sinful flesh, the law will always declare us to be slaves to sin. But the Apostle Paul did not write that letter to the church in Rome to leave sinners under accusation. And Jesus did not take our sin upon himself and shed the atoning blood on the cross to leave us under accusation, to leave us as slaves under the law, slaves just hoping to somehow tame the law so that we could start talking about it as better ways to live without it destroying us. Paul wrote these Christians in Rome to free them from the slavery, to proclaim to them the righteousness that comes to the sinner not by works of the law, but by the gift of Christ Jesus. Jesus took our sin upon himself and shed his blood on the cross to atone for us in order to forgive the sin, to set us free from the slavery, to release us from the law's accusing voice, so that by faith in him, we would then know our righteousness. So what does the law do to you? It makes you guilty before God. Indeed, our sin makes us guilty, but the law is that sentence, that verdict, and we dare not try to tame it. Because the way out of slavery to the law is not more law, nor neutering the law, nor obedience to the law. The way out of slavery to the law is first hear the law for what it is, God's voice declaring us, declaring the whole world guilty, so that every mouth may be stopped. Then the way out of slavery to the law is to hear God's voice of gospel. Jesus is the gospel. John 8:36, Jesus said, "The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus has set you free. He ransomed you with his own blood on the cross. In baptism, he brought that cross to you and made you one with it, so that the righteousness of the cross belongs to you as much as it does to Jesus. Because that's what he does in baptism. That's what it means to be baptized into Christ. The righteousness of the cross, it belongs to Jesus by what he did, by what he earned, by what he accomplished with his own suffering and death. But it belongs to you by gift. That's the gift we witnessed our Lord giving to Abir this morning. Abir, our brother in Christ. For in baptism, we bear, all of us, the same name, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be freed from slavery to the law, from slavery to the accusation, and from slavery to sin, death, and the devil, and to be brought then, finally, into the house. It means to bear the name given in baptism and belong to the righteousness which is apart from the law, Romans 3:24. Therefore, by deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Righteousness apart from the law, says Paul. Righteousness of God given to you. The righteousness of Christ Jesus made fully yours by gift. Righteousness received by faith, not by works. Righteousness held on to by faith, so that even as you live in your life of sinful flesh under the law's accusing voice, at the same time, in your life of faith, you hear the voice of God in his gospel. It is the voice forgiving your sin, the voice of Jesus justifying you before his Father, the voice of Jesus calling and inviting you to take his body, take his blood, eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sin. What do you receive in that supper? The full Jesus, nothing left out. The fullness of his body, the fullness of his blood, the fullness of what he did on the cross to redeem you, the fullness of what he did by walking out of the tomb to give eternal life to you, the fullness of his righteousness, yours by gift, yours by grace, not by works of the law. In the name of Jesus, amen.